Hello, welcome back to another episode of In the Money. I'm Constantine Vrondopoulou with Fidelity's Trading Strategy Desk, and with me, as always, Tony Zhang, Chief Strategist over there at Options Play. Happy to see you again, Tony. How are you doing?
Thank you so much, KV. Doing great. Been a crazy couple of weeks in the market, so really looking forward to digesting how the markets have been digesting the economic data that's been coming out.
Absolutely, Tony. We're inching ever so closer to the end of 2025. Don't know about you, but mine absolutely flew by. We've done plenty of shows, of course, every Thursday almost. So it's been a great journey. Looking forward to the year of 2026. I have to say that myself and the audience is very curious about your thoughts on the macro developments. There have been quite a few as of late, and that added to some decent intraday volatility ranges for the S&P 500 in terms of the price action. Today, we're on the back of some data and we're up much more than, or decently more than 1% of the upside. How are you feeling about the market, Tony?
Yeah, thank you so much, KV. The markets have been playing a game of wrestle, if you will, over the last few months with regards to concerns around AI and the valuations that the tech industry has been trading at, and the concerns around that. And on the other side, you have all of the economic data and how that is going to affect the Fed policy, going into the end of this year and in the first half of next year. So there's been quite a few different forces kind of at play here. Last week, we obviously got the rate cut, and we got a rate cut that was, quote unquote, less hawkish than we were expecting. And the markets digested that as relatively positive. And this week, we really started to turn towards the delayed labor data and inflation data that we were expecting. And both of those came out sort of better than expected. We did see an unexpected jump in terms of unemployment to 4.6%, but there was decent job creation here. And that sort of reinforces the bad news is good news narrative from a Fed policy perspective. And that's why we generally saw a relatively positive reaction from the markets to that labor data. And just this morning, we got the CPI print that came in cooler than expected. And that further propelled the markets higher here on that news. But at the same time, we continue to see the markets over and over again show concern around the tech names. If you look at kind of market breadth, it's been quite interesting to see the fact that a lot of the industries or sectors are actually higher on the week or the month, while tech is really the only sector that's been dragging everything down. And that's been the forces at play here. If you look at the S&P 500, it continues to stall below that 6,900 double top resistance level, yet it still kind of continues to hold this minor support around 6,780, 6,800. And just today, with the CPI print, we managed to get back above that level after what was a sell-off at the end of yesterday due to kind of tech concerns around tech. We see Oracle continue to trade down substantially here. At the same time, we see Tesla breaking out to new 52-week highs. So it's just been a really interesting week to kind of see how the markets navigate. Now, with kind of most of the inflation, most of the economic data that's due this week, the delayed data that's come out now, I think the key level to pay attention to on the S&P is the 6,800 level. If we can stay above that level here this week, I think you have a good chance that the market kind of continues to drift higher into this, what is seasonally a strong time of the year to potentially get back into that $6,900 level here to the, to that all-time high and potentially even print a new record before the end of the year. But right now it's really just a matter of the divergence that we continue to see between what is a cooling economy. The labor market continues to slow down, rising unemployment, and then on the flip side you have corporate earnings that remain quite resilient. 2025 is turning out to be a pretty strong year for corporate earnings growth, both in terms of revenue and earnings, and that divergence has sort of capped the upside momentum while also preventing any kind of deep drawbacks here in the market. So, going into next week, we really have what is a relatively thin market from a liquidity perspective. You have quadruple witching here this Friday. We could see a little bit of volatility on heavy volume, especially on the fact that liquidity is a little bit on the lighter end towards the end of the year. So this is really kind of where our base case here at the moment is that if the markets can remain above these major support levels, the odds of drifting higher into the new year are relatively high.
Very good, Tony. Messages loud and clear from the technical standpoint of view. Sounds like bulls must hold the line. And we got a couple of lines on that chart that are evident for everyone to see. Given that backdrop, Tony, curious what you have in store for trade idea of the week. What sector is it in? Very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, in this market environment, at least over the last month or so, you know, our preference is to be a little bit more defensive. We still think there's lots of opportunities within tech, just much more selective in nature. So on the more defensive side, one name that really kind of comes to mind at the moment here is Amgen, biotech stock, because Amgen has actually, from my perspective, seemingly had a successful shift away from being a more defensive dividend player into potentially a growth story, especially a growth story with significant cash flow generation, especially as the stock starts to, or the company starts to pivot towards obesity drugs that have been driven a lot of growth here in this particular industry, rare diseases, oncology, and showing a fair amount of strength from those markets while presenting, you know, upside binary exposure to the obesity drug complex. So if you look at the chart here of Amgen, the stock has really kind of been trading in a range below the 310 level for the better part of this year. And just last month, the stock broke out here from that level and has pulled back to the 310 level and retested that level as support and bounced higher. And what's really important is that as it broke out and came back to retest it, it's been outperforming the S&P 500. So that strong relative strength alongside with that breakout is what makes this an interesting opportunity and timing to be looking at Amgen at the moment. And then if you look at the fundamentals here, that's trading at around 14 times forward earnings, which is in line with the industry. Amgen is actually more profitable than its industry and actually generates substantial amount of cash flow relative to its peers. So what they've been able to do is pay down debt. They've been able to buy back shares at a pace that's far greater than its peers. And that's why the fact that it's trading at only 14 times forward earnings looks quite attractive, especially if you factor into the upside potential for the obesity drug that they recently have just entered phase 3 trials. And what's really interesting about Amgen's obesity drug is that it is a monthly or quarterly dosing, which is addressing kind of the main pain point that a lot of consumers have of the GLP-1 drugs for, you know, Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk, is the fact that those are weekly injections. So the fact that we're looking at monthly or quarterly is as an interesting differentiation for their obesity drug. And now that they've entered phase 3 testing, there's a lot more confidence that potentially this could be a blockbuster for Amgen. And then on the flip side, you know, you have their oncology drugs that have now seen, you know, more than 30% year-over-year growth. Their biosimilars are seeing 50% year-over-year growth, and their rare liver disease stuff is really looking at, you know, 15-20% year-over-year growth. And all of that is contributing to more than $10 billion each year in free cash flow. And that's really what's interesting about this is that, you know, a lot of biotech stocks, there's a lot of downside risks if phase 3 trials don't go as well. But and that certainly will have an impact on pricing if that drug does not pass phase 3 clinical trials. But if it does, the upside is there. But on the downside, they're cushioned to some degree with the substantial amount of cash flow that's being generated by their other pipelines. And the fact that they have, you know, continued to buy down debt and repurchase shares, that's really what I think is interesting about this particular stock is that you've got the upside convexity with that obesity drug while you have some downside protection with the cash flow that's generated from the rest of their portfolio, very similar to an option strategy. And that's why I'm choosing to use an option strategy to take advantage of that upside potential here. But I do want to raise the fact that there are some key risks here, which one is obviously the clinical trials that they've that they're currently on with phase three obesity drug. You know, that's raised their R&D expenses substantially. You're seeing about a 30% increase year over year in R&D expenses. And if that fails, that's likely going to contribute to a substantial decline in the stock's price. So there is some downside risks here, which is why I think the best way to play for upside here in Amgen is to use options so that you can take advantage of the upside if we start to see some meaningful growth here in this particular stock, especially from as that phase three trial continues to play out. But at the same time, if that doesn't work out, you want that downside protection here using options. So I'm going out to the February expiration, buying myself about 2 months worth of time, looking at buying the 330, 360 call vertical here. Earlier today, you can spend about $8.80 to buy that debit spread. You're buying that 330 call at around $12 and selling the 360 call for a little over $3, essentially offsetting roughly 25% of the cost of just buying the outright 330 calls. And that's going to reduce your overall risk down to just $880 per contract, while still having maintaining an upside potential gain of over $2,100 if Amgen is above 360 at that February expiration. And I think that's the type of risk defined risk profile that makes sense for the execution risk that you have with the clinical trials, while still maintaining the strong risk to reward ratio upside if we do see some positive news from that.
Very good, Tony. Thank you so much for a very thorough, both technical and fundamental take. A few observations here on Amgen. Obviously, it's a fairly large company, about $175 billion in market cap, trades the stock itself, obviously at $320 a share, trades well over 2 million shares a day. Looking back at 90 day volume, as well as the past 10 trading sessions or so. But the options markets are a little thinner than what we normally expect. We trade 90-day average volume in Amgen of 8.2 thousand contracts a day, and the bid offer spreads are a little wider than maybe in some of the names that you have come familiar with over this past year in our presentations and sessions. And so, given that this is a spread trade that Tony is choosing structurally, when you're executing that trade here at Fidelity, you're going to be selecting a limit order for what you're willing to pay for this spread. And my only suggestion here as a strategist would be, you know, be a little bit more cognizant and aware of the illiquidity, and you know, maybe try to bargain with the marketplace a bit instead of forcing the issue and paying the offer price outright. The question around the tactics on this trade, Tony, on the strike selection specifically. So you said 330, 360 bull call. 330 is about $5 away. So that's a stone's throw away. The 360 is a price where the stock has never traded before. And the question that I have for you is, when you're trading a stock and you're selecting a strike price that's above the prior all-time highs, how do you decide on the specific strike of choice? Is it the premium amount to bring down the debit that you're paying for the closer to at the money strike?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, especially when you're in uncharted territory with regards to a stock, you know, where your target price is above the 52-week high. It's a bit of a tricky scenario as to how to choose your strike prices on a debit vertical spread. But this is really where we look to the options market to give us a sense for what is the expected move for the February expiration. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to collect some premium to offset the cost of buying that 330 call, which is costing us around $12. But doing so with a strike price where you're not limiting the upside potential of the stock, by much. And that's where we turn to the options premium. We look at the implied volatility of the option, and we get a sense for what is the market implying, what is the expected move for February. And that's when we see that the expected move is around 360. And what that means is that there's about a 16% chance that the stock will be above 360 at that February expiration. So a relatively small percentage or a small chance of the stock being above that price, while still bringing in enough credit to meaningfully bring down the cost of buying that 330 call. So like I said, I'm collecting about $3.20 for that 360 call. That's going to offset a little more than 25% of the cost of that long call. That's going to go a long way to improve my risk to reward if the stock does drift up to 360, even if it goes above 360, even if it reaches 365, even 370, I'm likely to still outperform with the debit spread versus just outright buying that call option, because I've been able to reduce the capital outlay by more than 25%. So that's really kind of the calculus that goes into selecting that upper strike whenever I'm trading a debit spread like this.
Masterclass from Tony there. Thank you so much. Tony, we do have a look back on an options trade that didn't really go our way.
Yeah, so actually, I believe you were the host of this show about a month ago when we were looking at Gilead. You know, we had talked about how this was a hot stock back in the 2010s, when we looked at potentially looking at this stock again. But in the short run, you know, when we bought this January 120 call back a little over a month ago, is trading at just a little over $10, at $10.65. The stock has pulled back here, even though it still manages to hold that major support level at 120, which is why I'm maintaining a bullish view here on Gilead. But in the short run, this trade is not working out in the direction I'm expecting to by that January expiration. So it's lost about half of its value. And when we buy a call option, the rule of thumb that we have is that if we lose 50% of the premium that we pay, it's time to cut your losses and move on. We can consider reestablishing a new position after the fact if we still believe our thesis is intact. But what we want to do is we want to be disciplined in cutting losses so that we don't lose more than we expect on every single trade. So in this particular case, that 120 call is trading at around $5.10. My take is to cut your losses and move on, and we can always reestablish a new position in this later on if we still believe the thesis is intact.
Yeah, Tony, if you can't control the wind, you should certainly adjust the sails. That's exactly what we're doing here. Folks, this brings us to a close. I want to thank all of our viewers for attending, and I want to remind everyone that this is the last show of the year. We'll be back for the next episode on January 8th, 2026. As I mentioned earlier, the year absolutely flew by, but I am very much looking forward to new things to come and new ideas in the year of 26. Want to remind folks in the audience that there is going to be a follow-up session to this presentation hosted by the Trading Strategy Desk. You can find that by going to fidelity.com/in-the-money-follow-up. And of course, if we don't see you between now and then in the Trading Strategy Desk sessions, I want to wish everybody happy holidays and Merry Christmas. Tony, thank you so much for all your efforts.
Thank you so much, KV, and I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and I'll see you in 2026.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options, such as spreads, straddles, and collars, as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you're most comfortable with. As with all of your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Indexes are unmanaged. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of alternative options play, and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Copyright 2024 FMR LLC. All rights reserved. 1109225.1.0. Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.